James chapter number 3 here. So in your introduction, if you've got a worksheet there, in chapter 3, James turns from works to words. Okay, remember the whole discourse in the last 12 verses was about faith and works, and he deals with works and works being a byproduct of faith. So he turns here from works to words and the tongue. Okay, which he briefly touched on in, and we have a blank line there, and write down the cross reference here, James 1:19 and 26. 1:19 and 26, and then go with me there to James chapter 1, verses 19 and 26. James has had just a little bit to say about the tongue. In verse 19, he said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So he says there, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Then down in verse 26, he says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Okay, so he's touched on this area of our words or the tongue, but he's about to go into a very long discourse, okay? So here, he starts with teachers in God's church, okay? Now, why does the Holy Spirit choose to start with teachers? That's known to him, but teachers use words. They use their tongues, okay? And so we are to, and we have 5 points tonight, and I'll move quickly here. We're to beware of magnifying teachers. We're to beware of magnifying teachers, okay? And that's chapter 3, it should be. It says 2:1, it should be 3:1 there. So switch that, if you would, in your outline there. Chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, be not many masters." Okay, the word masters here is translated from the Greek word didaskalos. Aren't you proud of me? I could say that right. Didaskalos. And you know what? I don't even speak Greek, Brother Sammons. Amen. Didaskalos. And it's used 58 times in the New Testament. Okay? It's used of master of Jesus 40 times. So you have a little blank line there, 40 times. Teacher, 10 times. Master, small m, 7 times, and doctor once, okay? It had to deal with somebody who was a teacher, okay? And so something we see we should beware of concerning teachers here, and first of all, we see some things about teachers. We notice, number one, their significance, okay? Their significance. Go, hold your place there in James, and go to Ephesians chapter 4, okay? Back a few books there from James is the book of Ephesians, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it. We've got the reference for you there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Okay? "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." In Romans chapter 12, verse 7, we find out that one of the service gifts is the gift of teaching. At the end of Matthew, when Jesus is giving his famous last words, he says, "Go ye into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." So, listen, people think here that James is anti-teacher. He's not. Teachers are very significant in the church of God, and all God's people said. Okay, they have a special place, okay? So there's significance. But something that really became a problem was number two, their status. Their status. Again, Matthew 28:20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." And then in Matthew 23, we learn that the Pharisees love to be called rabbi, master. They love the status of being a teacher. It puffed them up with pride, didn't it? Okay? So God tells us to beware of magnifying teachers, okay? We see their significance, their status. Why, most of all, should we be careful to magnify teachers? I'll tell you why. Because of their sinfulness. Ladies and gentlemen, Brother Tom and I were just praying back there, and I appreciate that prayer, Brother Tom, at the beginning. By the way, you ought to start your prayer with either adoration or confession in either order, amen? But those two ought to be prominent in your prayer. You know why? Because we're sinners. Every teacher in this pulpit, every teacher anywhere in this building, Brother Hauser, is a sinner. So we got to be careful about magnifying. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean we look at them like this. Amen? But we have to be careful about magnifying them. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who's magnified. The Word of God is magnified here. Amen? The teacher's just a messenger. Amen? And so, careful. Beware of magnifying teachers. In the text, chapter 3, verse 1, we must be careful about the multiplication of teachers. He says, "My brethren, be not many masters." Okay? And so we just have a simple note here. The teaching here is that one should not be in a rush to instruct, but rather patiently listen and be taught first. How many of you have known, please don't raise your hands, but you could say amen. You've known somebody that had all the zeal in the world and wanted to be a teacher and then flamed out in just a couple months. Amen. If you've been around Christianity at all, you've seen that. And here, God is saying, listen, don't be in a rush to be a teacher. We could say it this way. Perhaps he would say, we have too many chiefs and not many Indians. Amen. If you want a really good math formula, you know, when they called the first seven deacons, did you know why they had to call seven deacons? Because 3,000 people got saved. That's 400 plus per deacon. Now listen, I'm not against deacons. I love our deacons, amen? But here James is saying, don't be in a hurry to be a teacher. One of the qualifications of a pastor is that he not be a novice. Okay? So here we're to beware of the multiplication of teachers, just teachers everywhere. Okay? Everybody wanting to be a teacher. So beware of magnifying teachers. Beware of the multiplication of teachers. Beware of the mistakes of teachers. Okay, now let's go to these cross references here. I think they're important for number three. Beware the mistakes of teachers. Now we're talking here about honest mistakes. Okay, honest mistakes. We'll get into in just a little bit concerning false teachers, but Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter number 15. We see something here. And by the way, sometimes it is someone that comes in with evil intent in the house of God, but sometimes the pastor is not vigilant in doctrine. Okay? And then we see what happened here in Acts chapter 15, verse 24. Okay? And you remember, here's the Jerusalem council. Some things have come up here, and they get together and they say, "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." So the first thing to beware of a mistake of a teacher is incorrect doctrine can be introduced. If there's one thing, ladies and gentlemen, I love being a shepherd of the sheep. I love making visits. I enjoy the fellowship. But I guess I feel more than anything else, probably my most important responsibility is I'm the caretaker of the doctrine of this church. It's important. It's absolutely everything we are is bound up in the doctrine that we believe. Okay? So, a mistake of teachers is incorrect doctrine can be introduced. What happened here? They were adding something to salvation. We read about it in Galatians. And what did Paul say? Hey, he said, even if it's me or an angel from heaven comes and teaches you some other gospel, don't believe him. Okay? So incorrect doctrine can be introduced. Okay, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And when I get there, I'm just going to go ahead and read. And if you're there early, that's fine. But if you're there late, just catch up. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal?" Not only incorrect doctrine can be introduced, but fleshly divisions can be created. Fleshly divisions. Well, you know, Pastor, I know you brought in that preacher, but I wish you would have brought in the other preacher, because I really liked him. And my response to that is always, did both of them preach and teach the Word of God? Amen. Okay? See, that you can have that here from the mistakes of teachers. Fleshly division. And there's people saying, well, I like Paul. Well, you may like Paul, but I like Apollos. And Paul's here saying, you're carnal. You missed it, amen? And then thirdly, and I will just go there, 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We mentioned this already, so we don't need to tarry long here, but 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and then verse 6. It says, "From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm." Novice desires can be followed. Novice desires. Okay? So beware of the mistakes of teachers. Number 4, beware of the mountain of false teachers. Okay? Beware of the mountains of false teachers. First one, number one, there are those that walk in hypocrisy. The Pharisees, Jesus said to them, he said, "You're like whited walls." He said, "You make the outside of the cup clean, but the inside is full of dead men's bones." Now listen, I understand that as sinners, there's a little hypocrisy in all of us, and all God's people said. I understand that, but boy, those that teach the Word of God, we ought to try to practice what we preach. Amen. Amen. Part of the problem in America, people not practicing what they preach. Many of you remember the old preacher, Brother Lester Roloff. Brother Roloff was against things that even God's not against. Amen. He was against everything. He was against bubble gum and Hershey bars and coffee and all that. He said, preachers would have him come over to the house and he'd call ahead and say, "Honey, hide the coffee pot. Brother Lester's coming over." Amen. Somebody came to Brother Roloff and said, "Brother Roloff, the hardest thing I do is try to live what you preach." Brother Roloff, to his great credit, said, "Me too." You know what? I'm made of the same stuff you are. You say, "Oh, it's hard to serve God." By the way, it is for me too. We've all got flesh, amen? But there are some that walk in hypocrisy. Number 2, not only those mountain of false teachers that walk in hypocrisy, there are those in Acts chapter 20, verse 30, that draw away disciples after themselves. I have seen this. In just the 18 years I've been saved, I have watched people draw away disciples, split churches right down the middle. I know a good man in New England who brought on an assistant. 6 months later, the assistant resigned. He told him, he said, "I'm a hyper-Calvinist," and took half that church with him, drawing away disciples after himself. We had, our pastor was at our church in Massachusetts for almost 20 years, Brother Tharp, and he resigned, and the new pastor came, and before the new pastor came, Brother Tharp had to deal with somebody, forgive me, who was on his third marriage but wanted to be a teacher. Okay, forget, listen, I know divorces happen, but this man was, his wife would say, "Oh, my husband's such a good teacher, they ought to let him teach here." And Brother Tharp said, "You watch out." And literally the first Sunday that our new pastor was there, they tried to come in the back door, and thank God we had some men that met him in the back door and said, "No, thank you. No, thank you. We don't want anybody drawing away disciples after themselves." Number 3. There are the false teachers that teach to please men, and they are everywhere today. They are everywhere today. The Bible says in 2 Timothy that they have itching ears. They have itching ears. They won't preach the truth. They won't preach the word. They just preach the good stuff. Listen, any real man of God has to preach on hell. Amen. Has to. Has to preach on the sins and the evils of the day. Just like Elijah. Just like Jeremiah. Amen. Just like Micaiah. Just like real men of God throughout the ages. There are those that are false teachers that teach to please men. And then the last one, and I hope you'll look these up in 3 John 9 and 10. There are those that love the preeminence. They love, Diotrephes, love the preeminence.
I've been a teacher for 643 years. Aren't you glad to know me? Would you like me to sign your Bible again?
Amen. They love the preeminence. By the way, can I just tell you this? And I'm not against evangelists at all. I love evangelists. I have good friends that are evangelists. But I love pastors. I love pastors. Pastors love people. Pastors teach and preach to help their people. Amen. And they do it week after week after week after week without any fanfare, without any pat on the back. Amen. I love pastors. Love them. Lastly tonight, beware of the microscope of teachers. And again, that should be chapter 3, verse 1. Forgive me for that. It says there at the end of the verse, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." John Phillips, great Bible writer here, says, "To lead people astray with wrong information is a solemn thing. Teachers will be held accountable for their doctrines. Sincerity is not enough. We must also be right. To whom much is given, of him shall much be required." And so he says, be careful about being a teacher. He's not anti-teacher. We need teachers in the word, in the house of God. Amen, church? We need good teachers. Thank God for the good ones we have here. We have wonderful Bible teachers. But he says, don't be in a hurry. God gave you two ears and one mouth. It means we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. Amen? And be not many masters, teachers in the house of God. Father, we pray that you'd please bless now. Thank you for all that you give. Pray that you would, Lord, help us, Lord, those of us that are teachers, to be everything you would have us to be as students in the Word of God.